Time goes quickly. We've seen that. We're nearing the end of this quarter. This whole quarter has been focused on being strong in the Lord. Each and every one of us, I hope, want to be strong in the Lord, right? And so we've been looking at some very basic things that are necessary if we're going to be strong in the Lord. We have, of course, this morning we're on Lesson 9, which is on page 23. And by the way, if you do not have a book, I know we ran out, but if you did not get a book and you want a book, you let me know that and at least write that down or give me your name and I'll make a copy before next week. We still have Lesson 9, which we'll talk about this morning. And then we're going to try to get as far as we can and finish in each of these 13 lessons. But, of course, our gospel medium following within this quarter left us one Sunday short on the number of Sundays that we have to finish the quarter. And so this morning we'll look at a daily religion. We'll do purpose of heart next week, then restoring lost sheep, then answering the question, when, what do we do when one quits the church? And we'll try to finish ways that we can die, lesson 13, to finish up this lesson. I like this lesson that we're talking about this morning because it's focusing on the need for us to implement the things that God would have us to do day in and day out, over and over and over again. I think sometimes the case is that we obey the gospel of Christ and we're like a child that gets a bicycle and he rides until the newness is gone, and then what does he do? Or any other toy for that matter. Throw it down and then maybe pick it up when he's bored or has nothing else to play with, nothing else to do, or maybe it's convenient, and then do it again. And we look at Christianity sometimes through that lens, and we ought not do that. We need to understand that the things that God expects us to do needs to be implemented every single day of our lives. We want to go to heaven, and it's a one-shot deal. It's not as though we can close our eyes and drift off into eternity and realize that we missed the mark and then come back and get a do-over, right? It doesn't work that way. So this is the only chance that we have. Sometimes individuals may say, well, that's just making it too hard. Well, the Lord did promise it would be easy, but He did promise us that He wouldn't put on us any more than what we could bear, that His commandments are not grievous, and that He would never forsake us or leave us. And so let's think about Christianity being a daily religion. The first one that is discussed is the daily need for prayer. We think about the passage when Paul was writing to those of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Three words, what did he say? Pray without ceasing. Here's a question for you. Is praying a privilege, a duty, or both? Both, right? Sometimes we look at it as though it is just, well, it's a privilege. And it is. And we just kind of here, there, hit, miss, whenever I think about it, or whatever the case may be, when I'm having bad times, or maybe when I'm having good times. But it's an obligation that we have, and that certainly should change the way that we look at our daily need for prayer. Jesus said, Matthew 6:11, what you put in that blank? Give us this day our daily bread. What does that teach us concerning prayer?
Thankful and be asking.
Okay. We learn that to be thankful, that it's God who sustains us. A lot of things we can learn from. But relative to a daily religion, daily prayer, daily, right? Notice what he said. This was not a prayer to be recited by rote or what have you, monkey see, monkey do kind of thing. But it's a model prayer, and he's teaching us our dependence upon God. Notice that he said, give us this day our daily bread. Well, if we pray this day for today's bread, what does that tell us we need to do tomorrow? Pray for tomorrow's daily bread. We put too much stock, time, effort, and worry into things not yet here. Right? That's not always a bad thing. We understand people go through this life living in the here and now and never make preparation for eternity. But give us this day our daily bread. How often did Daniel pray? Hopefully you've looked these up. Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 10. At least three times a day. Don't answer it out loud, but I want you to think about this. How often, how would we measure up in comparison to Daniel? You know, Daniel's lifestyle was known among associates, right? When you think about the King James Version uses the word presidents, those officers and those others that came in contact with Daniel, they said, we're not going to find any problem against Daniel except it being
against his God.
Yeah, concerning him and his God, his religion. And so remember, they prompted the king. You signed this decree that no king or anyone can ask a petition of any god for 30 days except for you. And he did that. But Daniel, nonetheless, at least three times a day, went into his chambers, his window being opened, and prayed to God. We ought to do the same. There's a lot that we have to give God thanks for, a lot that we need to be praying for. You tell me, what are things that we ought to pray for or about?
Maybe our spiritual growth, for one.
Spiritual growth? Others?
Leaders. Church?
Leaders.
Church? Leaders of the country? Leaders of the local body? On and on and on. Prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of praise, and there's a lot of things that we need to be busy about praying, especially in our times. What words in James 5:16 indicate that prayer is effective? You believe in the power of prayer? Yeah, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. And so that ought to convince us that there's purpose and meaning behind prayer. Now the question was given, or the statement, or request, give an example of the power of prayer.
Prayer was made on behalf of Peter when he was in prison and he was released.
Okay.
Elijah prayed he wouldn't rain. He did it for 3.5 years.
Good. Cornelius.
I also think of Hannah. Where she prayed. Mm-hmm. She was barren and prayed. The Lord answered her prayer.
That's right. There's a lot of examples afforded to us in the Bible. Number two, daily teaching. And all of these things, as we think about being strong in the Lord, all of the things we're talking about are things that we can take self-inventory of and improve on. Do better in. So and so, I've not been praying as much as I will. Start today. Someone says this next, I've not been teaching like I have. Well, start today. All these are things we can build on. So daily teaching. I like this statement in Matthew 26:55 when they came to arrest Jesus. And he said, I sat daily with you in the temple. Others were busy about this daily teaching. The Lord for some 3 years or so. And his public ministry was busy about teaching others. Other Christians continued daily with one accord in the temple, Acts 2 and in verse 46. I like this statement. I can make a better case for daily teaching in the New Testament than I can for weekly teaching. Can you think of people who need to be taught? And we all need to learn. Don't miss the point. But think about people in your life that you can think of that, yes, they need to be taught. They're teachable. Maybe they have a desire to learn the truth. We need to be busy about doing that. And it brings about results. We may not always see the results come the way that we would like or the way that we expect the results to be. But in the New Testament, when they did the things that God said to do, guess what happened? Growth. Acts 2:47 and 16:5, what happened? There was some daily activity took place relative to the church.
They were added.
Yeah. How often were they added?
Daily.
Daily added. In Acts 16, daily increasing. They increased in number daily. Wouldn't you like for that to happen here at Mill Street, that we increased in number daily? So we've got to be busy about teaching, doing all that we can to sow the seed of the kingdom. Luke 8:11. Don't ever forget what the seed is. You can sow a lot of different things. and get a lot of different results. But we've got to be busy about sowing the right kind of seed. The truth, right? Daily cross-bearing. What did the Lord say? If any man would come after Him, was necessary.
Take up his cross and follow Him.
Deny himself.
Okay. Deny himself, take up his cross, follow Him. But what does it... That's one of those statements that's easy to say, but what does it look like? I always appreciated when I had classes that a teacher would say, well, that's what the textbook says, but here's what it looks like. So what does it look like when the Bible says that we are to take up our cross daily? Obviously, we're not going to Golgotha, right? We're not going to Calvary the way that our Lord did. And bore His cross. So how do we bear our cross? That's what the Lord is saying.
Live our lives according to His Word daily.
Yeah, that's right. Each and every... And He says daily. But all that comes along with it, whatever that might be, He points out some things. Maybe the shame, the suffering, the heartache, the rejection, being separated from the company of others because they don't like the choice that you made to follow the Lord instead of following the crowd. So whatever is entailed in following the Lord, carrying our cross, is essential if we're going to be strong in the Lord and if we're going to go to heaven, right? If any man will follow me, come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me.
The cross represents a death. And so we have to die daily. We don't daily die to self and the choices we have to make, the things that we do, then we're not following after Him. Because Jesus died to self. And so do we.
That's right. Remember what the Lord asked in Luke 6:46? Why call you me Lord, Lord? And do not the things. Whatever's associated with doing the Lord's will, we've got to take that on. We see today less and less teaching instead of more and more teaching. There's a lot of teaching and preaching that goes on, but a lot of places are getting away from book, chapter, verse preaching. No matter what the book says so much, as opposed to what perhaps the Bible class teacher says or the preacher says or some board of director, whatever the case may be. But we've got to teach what the Bible teaches and bear the cross. Number four, a daily ministration. In Acts 6, there was some complaining that went on. What was the situation? What was the context of that?
Saying that the widows had been...
Yeah. Widows were being neglected. How were they being neglected?
In the days of
the... Acts 6:1, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Someone started to say something, I think. Now, this daily ministration. For the widows to be neglected in such, what must have been the case?
They were doing it daily.
They were doing this daily. They were caring for others daily. We don't so much get involved in that. I mean, you talk individually. The care and concern about individuals as we had the opportunity to do that. They had a daily ministration. We could spend a quarter or better talking about, of course, the work of individuals, and we have done that. The work of the church and the difference between the collective action and the individual action. But here's an incident. An occasion where they had this daily ministration and these widows were being neglected in that. Well, the question was asked, how did they remedy that? How did they take care of it? Acts 6 and in verse 3. You got that blank filled out, right?
Appointed 7 men.
Yeah, they appointed these men to take care of that. By the way, as a side note, what was the reason that the apostles did not get involved in doing that?
Taking away from the church.
Yeah. We'll give ourselves to the Word and to prayer rather than serve tables. We need to learn sometimes to let someone else do it. Right? I don't mean that in a bad way. But each of us need to learn that. There are some things that let other people take care of it. And you be given to the things that you need to be given to. And by saying that, so that no one takes the thought and runs with it, I'm not saying shirk responsibility and let someone do it and you do nothing or I do nothing. But I'm just saying we need to prioritize, especially when you look at the local work of a congregation and the organization of the church. Preacher needs to do his work. Elders need to do their work. Deacons need to do their work when it's organized that way, as opposed to getting all those lines mixed up. Daily Bible study. Every single day, we need to spend time what? Studying. Reading. We put that reading plan in the bulletin. It has purpose, I promise. I just don't sit down and say, what else can I do? I have nothing to do. We put that in there because we wanted to provoke individuals in to read the Word of God. So you got that through the Bible in a year plan on there. You might not use that one. That's okay if you don't use that one. But sit down every day and read and study the Word of God. We're not going to be able to do these other things if we don't know what this book says, right? A lot of that was pointed out in this last week's gospel meeting. We've got to know what the Bible teaches. Remember, Dale made that point about putting yourself in a position to teach others. Well, we can't teach others if we don't know what the book says, right? So we've got to have daily Bible study. In Acts 17:11, when the Bible talks about these who are more noble than those in Thessalonica, talking about the Bereans, why were they more noble? Yeah, they received it with all readiness of mind, searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Are we daily Bible searchers and readers? Oh, I don't have time. I get caught up in... Well, then turn loose of some things. Turn loose of whatever it might be that's hampering the Bible reading. Stay up a tad bit longer. Rise up a tad bit earlier. Turn off the TV, the radio. Put down the cell phone. Don't go to whatever the event may be. And study and read the Bible. There's all kinds of time, really, if we just manage our time the way that we ought to. Typically, people do what they want to do. You agree with that? If you want to study, and when I say you, I include myself, when we want to study and we want to learn the Word of God, that's exactly what we'll do. Now, if I don't want to do that and I want to give myself to a host of other things instead of that, that's what I'll do. You're here this morning because you wanted to be here. So we do, typically speaking, what we want to do. Write out and memorize 2 Timothy 2 and then verse 15. Did you at least fill out the blank? You probably already know that verse. We appeal to that verse often. What does he say?
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who is not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Good job. Good. Commit that to memory. Study. So that we can be approved unto God. And that word study actually means putting forth mental effort, exertion. Sometimes we think about sitting down with some type of book. Well, you know, you can read and study a whole lot about what others say about the Bible as opposed to the Bible itself. So don't get caught up in that.
The New King James says, be diligent.
Be diligent.
Like you say, you've got to put the mind effort to it.
And it takes time to do those things. Number 6. Daily exhortation. In Hebrews 3:13, the Hebrew writer stated what?
Encourage one another daily.
So he said to exhort one another. Maybe not all versions use that particular word, but what does it mean to exhort?
Encourage.
We just had a lesson where we defined many of those words. The daily exhortation is designed to prevent an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. If you don't have that underscored in your Bible, you ought to underscore Hebrews 3 and then verse 12. Because that teaches us without a shadow of a doubt that an individual who obeys the gospel of Christ can fall from a right relationship with God. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart in departing from the living God. We couldn't depart from God if it weren't possible to depart from Him. Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. What three things?
Approve.
Rebuke. Exhort. Now he said to do that basically with two ideas. With all long suffering and teaching. Or King James Version doctrine. What doctrine means is teaching. We suffer long with individuals and we teach them the truth. Not one to the neglecting of the other. So not all positive preaching, not all negative preaching, but just preach the Bible and it'll label itself out anyway. But we've got to preach it or it won't do that. What did Paul say to give attendance to in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then verse 13? When Paul is writing, as you're turning to that passage, when Paul is writing to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, he's basically telling them how to do what? What's the basis of those three books? Yeah, he talks about that in each of the books. And basically, how to do the work of an evangelist. What a preacher is supposed to be doing. Sometimes individuals ask me, well, what do you do during the day? And nothing wrong with that question, because I'll be honest with you, I asked a lot of people that question in time past. You know, what do you do every day? Preachers that I looked up to. What do you do during the day? How do you organize your day? Nothing wrong with that question. Well, this verse answers a lot of what the preacher does. Someone read that for us. 1 Timothy 4:13.
Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine.
If you think about it, those are broad areas, exhortation and so forth. But that takes up a lot of time. If a preacher's going to do his work, he has got to give the time to exhortation, to doctrine. You've got to know what it says, and to that first one. What was the first one again?
Read
it. Sit down and read. I'll admit to you, a large part of what I do, that I block a time that I feel it the first thing in the mornings when I get to the building, is read. And then read some more. And then read some more. And read some more when I have opportunity. But that's part of it. You can't know what the book says except you spend time reading it. You can't exhort people and build them up in the most holy faith if you don't know what the faith is. You can't walk in the paths of righteousness if you don't know what that path entails or what righteousness is. All His commandments are righteousness, by the way. Any thoughts about that? The author of this book put this statement at the bottom of this daily exhortation point. When a church in southern Indiana considered conducting Wednesday evening services, an elder said, next thing you know, they'll have us going every day. It's one of the elders. I remember several years ago we were contemplating, we didn't have a Wednesday service. Maybe we had the Wednesday, not the Sunday evening, but at any rate, we didn't have three services per week. And we were contemplating, maybe this is something we should do, give the opportunity for growth. And it wasn't a situation where someone couldn't come in the morning because of work and people could be there, but just for the opportunity for growth and maybe those passing through that were visiting and so forth to have an evening service. And one of the members said, if we're not careful, we'll expect too much of people and make it too hard on them. Do you look at an evening service on Sunday evening and Wednesday night in a gospel meeting as being too hard? We don't do enough. We don't do enough. There's always more that we can be involved in. When I say we, I'm not just talking about here. You can say that at any congregation. But we always need to look at how can we do more in service to the Lord with the opportunity, as God blesses with opportunity, and the resources we have. How can we do more, and never how can we do less? If that's our thinking, we're moving in the wrong direction. We want to be strong in the Lord. That's what this quarter has been about. And so we need to get back to daily religion. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at Lesson 10 on purpose of heart. I appreciate your good attention.